and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. The first death of a person from bird flu in the U.S., our Jennifer Kuiper reports.
Health officials in Louisiana say the person who died was over 65, had been in contact with sick and dead birds in a backyard flock, and had underlying medical problems. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
The persons who are currently at highest risk for infection include people who work with dairy cattle, poultry, or wild birds, and they're generally younger and healthier than the Louisiana case who died.
The Louisiana Department of Health says it has not found any other human bird flu cases. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Meantime, a new virus dubbed HMPV is surging in China, which has some worried about another pandemic. But health officials here say there is no reason to worry. One doctor tells CBS News that HMPV has actually been circulating for a while, so people have some immunity against it. We've been talking about snow and ice for days now, and guess what? More is coming to much of the country. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
On Monday night, they shut down National Airport in D.C. early to clear the runways to make sure that there's nothing that builds up there and freezes. The temperatures are going to be so low in the eastern portion of the United States that the usual salt that you would use, you can't use the normal amount. It's just too cold. And so that's part of the problem, is wherever there is snow, it's not going anywhere.
At least five people have died from storms this week. The death toll from an earthquake in a mountainous region in western China has now risen to at least 53. Reporter Alex Jensen is in nearby Seoul.
With a magnitude of 7.1, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, the quake struck close to China's border with Nepal, including a holy city for Tibetan Buddhists. Tremors were felt as far as Nepal's capital, Kathmandu, over 200 miles away, where people were seen running from their homes.
Back here, the body of former President Jimmy Carter is set to move from the Carter Presidential Center in Atlanta to Washington.
I'm Jim Crisul in Marietta, Georgia. An Air Force plane is set to fly the body of former President Jimmy Carter from nearby Dobbins Air Reserve Base to Joint Base Andrews outside Washington, D.C., ahead of an official state funeral Thursday. The flight has been designated Special Air Mission 39 in honor of the nation's 39th president.
An average of 10.1 million viewers tuned in to the 82nd Golden Globes across CBS and Paramount Plus last night. That's up from last year's numbers of 9.4 million. Before the pandemic, though, the Globes typically drew closer to 20 million viewers. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Christian Watson lost for the season. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson suffered a torn ACL and did other damage to his left knee in Sunday's game against the Bears.
Yeah, it's not good. He'll be out for the season or the rest of the year.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on how much of a loss Watson will be for the Packers offense heading into Sunday's playoff game against the Eagles, kickoff at 3:30.
Yeah, it's a big time loss. Just his presence on the field alone. He's so versatile in his ability to play multiple positions. You can put him at the X, the F, the Z. You can move him all over the place. Obviously, he's got an element in terms of his size and speed that's tough to replicate. There's not many built like him around the league. And I hurt for him just because I know how much he's put into this thing. It's an unfortunate part of our game. But like I told him, I know he'll attack it the right way.
NBA, the Bucks are in Toronto tonight against the Raptors. A recap coming up later tonight with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Actor Craig T. Nelson belted out the national anthem before the Bears-Packers game on Sunday. The actor stars in Green and Gold, a film about a farmer who bets on the Green Bay Packers to save his Wisconsin farm, part of which was shot in Door County. The 80-year-old actor complimented the Packer fan base and called the opportunity of standing near the Packers logo at Lambeau Field an absolute thrill. Green and Gold hits theaters January 31st. Frontmen don't do Humble, but today, I was. Those are the words of U2 lead singer Bono, who received the Presidential Medal of Honor from President Joe Biden last weekend. Other recipients of the award went to Hillary Clinton, Irvin Magic Johnson, Bill Nye the Science Guy, Michael J. Fox, and conservationist Jane Goodall. Bono was the winner of 22 Grammy Awards in his career. The White House said he was selected for the Medal of Freedom due to his tireless work against HIV and poverty. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thicken up a bit in the overnight with light northwest winds, temperatures dropping to the mid-single digits. On Tuesday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the lower 20s in the afternoon, and again, our winds will remain light out of the northwest. Currently, 8 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll break down all of the hidden symbols and why Beyoncé Bowl on Christmas was so important in this political moment. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Services.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the third hour of our program. On the line with us is Mike German, a former FBI agent, currently with the Brennan Center for Justice. He's a justice fellow. His handle on Blue Sky is Rethink Intel. He's the author of a new book that's out today, Policing White Supremacy, The Enemy Within. Mike spent 16 years with the FBI. Two of which were focused on infiltrating the white supremacist and far-right militia movements. And he's also testified before the House Select Committee on January 6th and other venues. Mike, welcome to the program. Tell us, first off, the title of your book. Where does it, Policing White Supremacy, The Enemy Within, both those phrases could be subject to some ambiguity. Why this title?
So the title that my co-author Beth Zasloff wanted was something very simple and explained what the book is really trying to do. So Policing White Supremacy is about how law enforcement is ineffective in the way it addresses white supremacist and far-right militant violence, with instruction on how they can improve that performance. And more importantly, to recognize that it isn't just a law enforcement issue. This is something that giving law enforcement more powers isn't going to solve. In fact, that's part of the problem. And The Enemy Within was intentionally ambiguous, both because it somewhat references the idea that the way that law enforcement looks at white supremacist activity as a domestic issue when it's really international. There are white supremacists all over the world. These groups that engage in violence often network internationally. So this distinction, calling them domestic terrorists versus international terrorists, is part of the discrepancy in the way law enforcement addresses terrorism in the United States. But also the other ambiguous part is that a lot of the book focuses on affinity for these groups within law enforcement. So it's not just that these groups are outside law enforcement and need to be addressed by law enforcement, but that this is a problem that has festered within law enforcement since the beginning of history in this country.
Well, and many of our, certainly in the South in particular, many of the police departments started out as slave patrols, and as did, Patrick Henry gave a big speech about this at the ratifying convention for the Constitution, that without what became the Second Amendment, without something that explicitly authorized states to have militias and arm those militias, and he was specifically referring to the Virginia Slave Patrol. He was the largest owner of slaves in the state. He wouldn't vote for the Constitution. So arguably even the state militias, you know, what we call the National Guard started out as the slave patrol. So white supremacy and its involvement with police, I mean, it goes way, way back, not just to the 1870s when the Justice Department came out of the effort to push back against the Klan and the fight against Reconstruction, if I've got that right.
Absolutely. And it's easy to look at that as a remnant of history, but it persists. And, you know, after the Reconstruction period ended and Jim Crow laws were put in place and black codes all across the United States, you know, it's often easy to assume this is a southern U.S. problem. But fugitive slave patrols went all across the nation. And during Jim Crow, there were also black codes in Midwestern states and Northern states. You know, vigilante groups like the Ku Klux Klan were powerful in Southern California. So this has never been just a regional problem. It's always been within the entire country in the way that our society creates racial hierarchies. And the police are the ones who enforce those hierarchies. The sundown towns where a person of color is met on one side of the town by a police officer who takes them to the other side of the town and says, you know, don't be here past sundown. These laws and policies were always enforced by police.
So part of this has to do with how we define, in the modern context, how we define terrorism. This is the word du jour since 9/11. And or the word decade or whatever, right. And here we've got this guy who blew himself up in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas, left behind two manifestos. One of them said, fellow service members, veterans, and Americans, it's time to wake up. Americans only pay attention to spectacles and violence. What better way to get my point across than with fireworks and explosives? Rally around Trump, Musk, Kennedy, and ride this wave to the highest hegemony for all Americans. He says, Americans must wake up, purge the government and military. Military and vets must move on D.C. Militias facilitate and augment this activity until the purge is complete. He said, try peaceful means first, but prepare to fight to get the Dems out of the federal government and military by any means necessary. They all must go, and a hard reset must occur for our country to avoid collapse. If he was speaking not of Republican Democratic politics, but instead on behalf of Islam, and he had brown skin, he would have been labeled a terrorist instantly. And instead, I have not heard one single news report refer to this guy as a terrorist. What's going on with this?
That's right. The way that not just law enforcement, but the media talk about terrorism is highly politicized. And that's really part of the problem. As you said, it comes definitionally. This concept of terrorism is a highly politicized comment term where it's applied not based on the type of conduct, but rather based on whether the government has a concern about that political cause or social movement, which is why you see the law enforcement response to activism that is meant to drive social change, particularly when it's led by people of color in this country, receive a tremendous amount of law enforcement attention, whereas white supremacist violence isn't even tallied. Yeah. For years, we've been, and in fact, Congress passed a law requiring the FBI to document the number of domestic terrorism incidents, including breaking it down by white supremacists and the fatalities resulting thereof. And the FBI, as you said, you know, for 25 years now, we've considered terrorism our number one priority, counterterrorism our number one priority, but they say that they don't collect domestic terrorism incident data. They don't know how many people white supremacists killed
Amazing.
This year, or last
Amazing.
Year, or any other year.
I want to get to your experience being undercover with these people, but it seems to me that it's not just race, that it's almost a caste system, certainly a class system. I mean, you've got obviously, you know, race a big factor in this one. You know, Dylann Roof killing, you know, a half a dozen people, black people in a church, and the police drive him to a Burger King because he says he's hungry, he hasn't had lunch, on the way to jail. And then you contrast that with, you know, Luigi, who shot a white multimillionaire CEO, and, you know, they march him to jail with a phalanx. I mean, you know, with a military escort virtually, as if he was, you know, Osama bin Laden. The contrast is frankly shocking. And they never prosecuted Dylann Roof as a terrorist, as I recall. I think he was just prosecuted for murder, whereas Luigi is, you know, being prosecuted for terrorism as well. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me there's a differentiation in how the FBI and the Justice Department address white supremacist violence. And part of that comes from the history. One of the frustrations I've had over the last several years is that a very widespread concept or idea by people within who have previously been federal prosecutors who argue there is no domestic terrorism law. That's false, absolutely false. You can open the U.S. Code. There's an entire chapter called terrorism that defines both international and domestic terrorism simply by geography. Terrorism that occurs in the United States is domestic. Terrorism that occurs outside the United States is international. But they create these domestic terrorism categories by ideology. And then because they're not collecting data about who are the most persistent threats and who are the most serious threats, i.e. killing people, they're able to pick and choose which groups to prioritize. And they tend to prioritize groups that are engaged in less activity and less serious violence.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. We're talking with Mike German. He's got a new book out called Policing White Supremacy, The Enemy Within. Mike, can you stick around for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, great. I've got to take a very, very quick break here. We'll be right back. It's 16 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Mike German. You can find him over on Blue Sky at rethinkintel.bsky.social. Also at the Brennan Center. He's a justice fellow with the Brennan Center. And a former FBI agent. And as I mentioned, his new book, Policing White Supremacy, is the topic of our conversation. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Right back with Mike German, former FBI agent, currently with the Brennan Center and the author of Policing White Supremacy. Stay with us.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rate you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Mike German. He's got a new book out, Policing White Supremacy, The Enemy Within. He's a former FBI agent, currently with the Brennan Center for Justice as a justice fellow. And Mike, you were summarizing how the FBI really should kind of change the systems that they're using or the methods that they're using or however you'd characterize it,
right,
to be
yeah.
a little more effective in dealing with this issue of, quote, terrorism.
Right. What they need to do is not focus on the ideology, but focus on the methodology of violence. How is it that these people are getting such deadly weapons? Why is it that these people, typically what you see is groups that do serious harm have been involved in serious criminal activity or associated with people who have been involved in serious criminal activity. But if the FBI isn't collecting that domestic terrorism data, it doesn't have the data to connect the dots.
Right.
When a hate crime occurs in one state, it might be related to another racist murder that happened in another state, but that was categorized as not domestic terrorism or a civil rights violation.
Right. I totally get it. We just have about maybe a little more than 2 minutes, I think, before we're going to hit a hard break here and have to wrap this up. You spent a couple of years, undercover and infiltrating these white supremacist groups. What's What is the state of play right now in America with these far-right militias and white supremacist groups?
They're still out there, and they're still active. It's interesting that those activities don't get as much coverage in the news, and there's plenty of research demonstrating that. But I think the mistake people make is assuming that they're aligned with one of our mainstream political parties, and they aren't.
Yeah.
And
but
they're
openly supportive of the GOP, generally speaking, are they not?
Certainly the GOP has exploited them as they have exploited the GOP.
Right.
The dog whistle.
So it's like a mutual symbiosis.
Exactly. But it's a different area that they want to go into. And, you know, I think what you'll see is some of the disappointment with the progress toward their goals and a type of activity that really hasn't been seen in the United States in a while, where these groups are fighting amongst each other. These groups are fighting law enforcement. You know, that's really one of my greatest frustrations over the last couple of years, is how law enforcement doesn't seem to recognize this is a threat to their fellow law enforcement officers.
Right. Well, it certainly happened on, you know, 4 years ago today. To what extent, I hear a lot of rhetoric around this, and I've been hearing it forever. When I grew up in Michigan, and I actually had a friend whose father was in the Michigan militia, and he was convinced, and he was in the John Birch Society, and he was convinced any day now, you know, the revolution was going to start, and he was going to be killing people with his assault weapon. And that rhetoric of, you know, we are the revolutionaries, we are the reinvention of the Confederacy, you know, the South will rise again, we will rise again, we're going to take our country back, blah-de-blah, seems pretty vigorous out there. How much of a threat is that? Is there really a risk that people are going to start shooting at each other in America? We have just a minute left. I'm sorry.
Of course there's a risk. You know, this is something that has been persistent in our society for quite some time, and when people in government or in positions of authority suggest that this type of violence is allowed in our society, it becomes more prevalent. And that's where I think we are right now, which is why we're starting to see more of this activity.
And these groups are growing, in your opinion?
It's hard to say if they're growing because nobody really takes an account of what they are. You know, the government doesn't. So there's no official data on who they are. And when I was doing this work undercover, I never formally joined a group. You know, a lot of the people who are militants within these groups see the different organizations as problematic. So they don't join.
So it's
impossible to count them.
Yeah, I totally get it. A fascinating book, Policing White Supremacy, The Enemy Within, the author Mike German, Rethink Intel at Blue Sky. Mike, thanks so much for dropping by today. Great talking with you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
27 minutes past the hour. Back with your calls on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640-6298.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Someone from Louisiana has died after being hospitalized with bird flu, marking the first U.S. death from the H5N1 virus. CBS's Dr. Celine Gounder.
This is a reminder that H5N1 avian flu has the potential to be deadly, particularly among persons who are at higher risk for severe disease.
There are snow and ice alerts across much of the U.S., with many without power. And places not used to the cold will get it this week, says CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
You've got snow on the ground, freezing conditions, and then now you're adding another storm system. Plus, you're bringing the cold even further south. We've got wind chill alerts that go all the way down to the literal Gulf of Mexico now.
Dozens have been killed in China following a powerful 7.1 earthquake. The BBC's Laura Bicker is in Beijing.
These roads are really high. They are small roads. They are very remote. So getting any aid, getting the help that these people need will be very challenging indeed.
CBS News Brief.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There was a lion's roar atop the box office this past weekend. Mufasa took first place on the big screen with a haul of just under $24 million. The Lion King prequel edged out Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on the last weekend of 2024. Sonic, which was tops last weekend over Mufasa, brought in just over $21 million for a second place, but out-earned Mufasa over the traditional three-day weekend. Both films are entering their fourth week of release and showing decent legs. Coming in third place this past weekend was Focus Features' Nosferatu, a surprise hit that has pulled in about $70 million since its release on Christmas Day. The film is now at $100 million globally. Rounding out the top five were Moana 2 in fourth place with $12 million and about to pass $1 billion globally. And in fifth place was Wicked with just over $10 million. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, landed in sixth place for the second week in a row with just over $8 million big ones. Great assortment of flicks in the theaters right now to help you combat the cold. Check them out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Christian Watson lost for the season. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson suffered a torn ACL and did other damage to his left knee in Sunday's game against the Bears.
Yeah, it's not good. He'll be out for the season or the rest of the year.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on how much of a loss Watson will be for the Packers offense heading into Sunday's playoff game against the Eagles, kickoff at 3:30.
Yeah, it's a big-time loss. Just his presence on the field alone. He's so versatile in his ability to play multiple positions. You can put him at the X, the F, the Z. You can move him all over the place. Obviously, he's got an element in terms of his size and speed that's tough to replicate. There's not many built like him around the league. And I hurt for him just because I know how much he's put into this thing. It's an unfortunate part of our game. But like I told him, I know he'll attack it the right way.
NBA, the Bucks are in Toronto tonight against the Raptors. A recap coming up later tonight with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thicken up a bit in the overnight with light northwest winds. Temperatures dropping to the mid-single digits. On Tuesday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the lower 20s in the afternoon, and again, our winds will remain light out of the northwest. It's 6 at our studios.
Ready, set, go!
Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some Republicans don't seem very enthusiastic about continuing to fund the IRS. Why would that be? We'll kick that around. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Today, or text my last name, Hartman, to 511-511 and become a member today. Text Hartman to 511-511. Together, we can make 2025 the year we protect our religious liberties like never before. Text fees may apply. That's fffrf.us/Hartman with two N's. fffrf.us/HARTMANN.
A world divided, it seems. Voices shouting, truth obscured. But in my heart, I'm reassured. I won't be swayed by all the noise. I'll speak my mind, I'll raise my voice. Not here to preach or spread the news. Just sharing thoughts, my own views. It's just my opinion, not the gospel truth. A little piece of me, a bit of proof. I see the world through my own eyes. It's just my opinion.
I'm Ellis Passier. Welcome back. Picking up your calls here, Jane in Gadsden, Alabama. Hey, Jane, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Not well, a lot. I'm frustrated. A lot of the things that the MAGAs and Trump and that bunch do are treasonous. Yet the rule is, according to the Constitution, that we have to be at war. Okay, I want to know, is there something, we've got 2 weeks left where we have a little bit of control. Is there anything we can do, something like an amendment to the Constitution that would change that? I know I'm dreaming, but we got to do something.
Well, the Republicans now control the House and the Senate. I mean, you know, that they were sworn in 3 days ago. And
I knew the House was. I did not know the Senate had already owned.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Congress is now firmly in the hands of the Republicans. It's just that the president doesn't get sworn in until the 20th. But Congress gets sworn in on the 3rd. So, you know, any possibility of doing anything legislatively is gone. Joe Biden is doing some great stuff. He did an executive order that bans expanding drilling in wild areas, drilling for oil and gas. Trump will probably reverse it, but it's a good step. He just signed legislation to give Social Security benefits to 2.5 million Americans who had been denied them. There's some green shoots here, and it looks like there might be an emerging war within the GOP between the billionaire faction and the kind of Laura Loomer MAGA faction. And we'll see how that plays out.
I'm going to be popping some corn and sitting back and watching these huge egos try to fit in the same room.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's not going to be pretty, and I can't wait.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to get weird. I'm hopeful that it doesn't spill out, you know, hurting people in the general population and that sort of thing.
But,
we'll keep an eye on it, and I'll keep you up to date. Jane, thanks for the call. I'm sorry I don't have an easy answer for you, but it is an appropriate and important time for all of us to engage, you know, to join the Democratic Party. And to hook up with any local organizations that you think are doing good work. Run for the local school board, you know, whatever you can do. Jane, thank you for the call.
Grace in Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Grace, what's up? Grace in Brooklyn, New York. Grace has been on hold for a while here, Mateo, so I'm going to put her on hold. And she's on line 7, if you want to pick that up. Mike in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, nice talking to you.
Thank you.
My question is about Elon Musk. He's now worth $400 billion today. He used our federal government to get subsidies worth $18.5 billion to fund his bankrupt companies. His trucks cost between $80 and $140 grand. I saw a YouTube video Saturday on my phone where his trucks are not selling. The wipers are causing visual impairments when you drive them. And the trucks have blind spots all the way around them when you drive them. Trucks are sitting on dealership lots. Who is buying them, and why are they so ugly looking? And then the other question I have is, if he needs money, why doesn't he go on Shark Tank and get private equity money?
Well, he's getting money from Saudi Arabia. You know, it's the Saudis who helped him buy Twitter. So, you know,
why aren't we giving U.S. Steel subsidies to keep them open instead of Japan buying them?
Yeah.
Government can invest in a real asset.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I have to confess, I don't know enough about the U.S. Steel situation to know why they're in the crisis that they're in. But I'm guessing that a lot of it probably has to do with Chinese and perhaps a few other countries subsidizing the production of steel, you know, and softening the world market. But that's just a guess, just a total guess. In terms of your first question, you know, Elon Musk and the Cybertrucks, I have no idea. I can't. I've seen a couple of these things, you know, on the highway, and they literally look like a dumpster. I mean,
like refrigerators going down the street.
Yeah, you saw that one on fire in front of the Trump hotel,
yeah.
And it looked like a dumpster fire. I mean, it's just I don't get it.
Who's buying them?
Apparently wealthy right wingers. I'm not even sure that they're selling, and Tesla apparently is seeing a significant softening of their sales, not just in the United States, but around the world. Part of that is when we were in Australia, we were, you know, BYD is now the largest electric car company in the world. And it's a Chinese company. They're selling a $10,000 electric car with a 250-mile range. And, it's just a little sedan, but it's subsidized by the Chinese government, which is why you can't buy it here, because there's a 100% tariff on them. Musk was first to market, but actually Musk bought Tesla from the original two investors. He didn't invent it. He didn't name it, although he claims on various occasions that he did. We'll see how it shakes out. Mike, thanks for the call. Jan in Gasburg, Virginia. Hey, Jan, what's up? Nope. Jan must have just pushed the hang-up button instead of the unmute button. Grace in Brooklyn, New York. You want to try it again, Grace?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. What's up?
Okay, so I had wanted to, I wonder if it was a bad idea, but I had wanted to have thousands of letters be sent to Kamala to tell her to not certify Trump. I wonder if that would have led to a civil war or if that would have been possible based on his being, I think, clearly guilty of treason due to emoluments from foreign governments, due to the classified documents in the bathroom in a public place for all the people of every country and domestically to view them and photograph them if they wished. I've read the documents in Biden's place for his garage, not comparable at all. And, of course, right. The insurrection, which has been the most people's focus. And then the fact that someone mentioned during the call that the lack of free and fair elections because of all the money being spent, again, coming from foreign money, as you were just pointing out, and all the disinformation, not just misinformation, and the control of media and channels. So I was just wondering, looking backwards at this point. The other thing is I felt that Rachel Maddow talked about in her book Prequel and in Ultra, the connection, the time of the Ku Klux Klan and John Birch and Joe McCarthy, that Hitler was involved, actually, that he was funding the right wing turn in this country. So I've been trying to write about unofficially and all that, and not very publicly, but how we could have better policies for the big petro nations. I think are terrified of the climate change, fossil fuel issues for them. Their power, their security, their economy, their voice all depends on fossil fuels. And I was wanting to think if we could think in terms of, just in terms of human psyche, even domestic terrorism, everybody, that trauma and fear and weakness, I think, is what leads to aggression and bullyism and domination. And somehow if we could switch our whole view and find ways in schools to support kids rather than discipline them, and ways in the world to support other countries' economies, even when they're doing human rights violations.
I think you've just bounced off about 9 different topics here, Grace. Kamala Harris has already certified the election. Under the new Electoral Count Act, she couldn't have stopped anyway. She couldn't have resisted it. She could have refused. It wouldn't have mattered. I don't think it would have started a civil war if a million people sent her a letter saying don't do it, because probably a million people did send a letter or communications to that effect. Trump, in my opinion, is disqualified from being president by virtue of not just the 14th Amendment, but also, as you say, having committed treason, in my opinion, having shared, our secrets with foreign enemies, his collusions with Russia, a rapist. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But the fact of the matter is he's going to be our president, and we're going to have to work with it, or live with it anyway, and figure out what to do. Grace, thank you for the call. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's talk media for the sane among us. Yes, we are still here, and we are still sane, and we'll be right back.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with 2 beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name 1 year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth.
That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
In the heart of our hometown, where the streets are bustling around, we got a neat the morning sun. Together we can get things done. Every voice, every hand, together we can make a stand. Tag your rich, let's join the fight for a future for what's right.
Welcome back 10 minutes before the hour and picking up your calls here. Ruth in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Hey, Ruth, you wanted to bring up Jimmy Carter.
Pardon? Yes, I, with all the recent coverage of Jimmy Carter and his passing, I have never heard anybody talk about how his reelection was sabotaged by Reagan's campaign. And what I've read, I couldn't tell if Reagan actually knew about it or what. And
isn't that amazing,
know,
Ruth? I predicted this. You'll recall, some time ago that when Carter died, that there would be absolutely no mention of Reagan sabotaging his campaign.
Remember
and
that.
There hasn't been. I haven't seen it in any of the eulogies. I haven't seen it on any of the television reporting. It's outrageous.
There was a special a couple nights ago on MSNBC. It had Jonathan Alter, who wrote that long book on him, and Chris Matthews, who I didn't know was a speechwriter for him, mm-hmm. never said anything in that whole hour.
Wow.
The only one I did hear was Chris Hayes a day or two before that special, and he did have a segment on it, and I taped it, and I'm going to look at it again.
God bless him. Good.
Yeah. He's the only one that I've heard. And so I just wanted to see what you thought of that. The last thing I read, because I looked for some articles, was that actually Carter did get the hostages released shortly before he left office, but then they said Reagan got credit for it. Now, I don't know.
They were released to the minute, the moment that Ronald Reagan put his hand on the Bible to be sworn in on January 20th.
It did say on this article that I read, in the end, Carter, not Reagan, secured their freedom. In the early morning of January 2081, just hours before he left, he completed the final.
Yeah, because Carter was still president at the time that Reagan took the oath. Reagan wasn't president until after he took the oath. So, excellent point. Yeah. Excellent point.
Okay.
But the crime.
I didn't know you said something previously.
Yeah, the crime that Reagan, Bush, and apparently Bill Casey committed, and that has been now essentially confessed to by Ben Barnes, the former lieutenant governor of Texas, who was, on the flight to Paris to meet with the Iranians to cut the deal. You know, we'll sell you parts for your American-made jet fighters if you'll hold the hostages. It's just been memory hold, and it's just that's just you know, it's very similar to. You know, in April 20th of 2020, when it was first reported that black people were dying at a higher rate of COVID than white people were, and suddenly in, you know, just within hours of this headline coming out, Donald Trump completely changed the posture of the United States with regard to COVID and lockdowns. And, you know, suddenly it was time to get back to work, especially those black people and brown people. And it's just that which led to an unnecessary 500,000 deaths in America. That's been memory hold, too. It's just incredible, the stuff that just vanishes. And you can bet if the Democrats had done this kind of crap, the Republicans would never let us forget about it. So, Ruth, thank you so much for bringing that up. Carrie in Wellington, Kansas. Hey, Carrie, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I'm calling, and I had an idea that with everyone talking about President Carter passing away, this weekend I found a Michael Moore podcast, 192, from 2016. And he's reciting the New York Times article about it, the exposure of what happened with the hostages and how Reagan got in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he interviewed a gentleman from Africa and about racial differences. And I wanted to bring that up. Podcast 192 from 2016.
Okay.
But the reason I'm calling is because we've had so many people feel so helpless. I came up with the idea that maybe we could get a viral message across that we did not vote for this and thank the officers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the fact of the matter is a small percentage of Americans, fewer than a quarter of Americans, voted for Donald Trump. You know, fewer than half of eligible Americans, voter eligible Americans, even bothered to vote, or just a little over half, actually. And well, you know, probably about a quarter of voter eligible Americans voted for Trump. So, you know, he's claiming a mandate that he doesn't have, and he's going to continue to, and the Republicans are going to continue to milk that. And we'll just see if there's any blowback. Carrie, thanks for the call. Dave in Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey, not too much, Tom. I said I wasn't going to call as much because, you know, I think we're on an inexorable path of evolution here. All right, towards fascism, which might mutate into some form of Nazism, right? And you know, I'm only calling because the two, Shamsu Dinjabar and the Livelsberger, Matthew Livelsberger, those two were soldiers, right? And it concerns me, as was I. And here's the thing. Look, if you... the bottom line, Tom, is the Nazis never had social media, all right?
Yeah.
It's the ultimate dehumanizing thing because it's not a human.
It is a powerful technique. They did use radio, though. They were the first to use radio, and they used it very, very effectively. It's a fascinating history. Dave, thanks for the call. Thanks for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us. That includes you. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the folks around you. Stay safe. I'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
Right now, you can switch from cable television to satellite television for free. That's right, we're offering free equipment, free installation, plus get a free $100 prepaid Visa card. Call the satellite TV hotline right now. Make the switch from cable to satellite television and expand your viewing horizon. On top of free installation, for a limited time, we're offering a fixed price guarantee. With satellite TV, you'll save money over your expensive cable bill, plus get access to hundreds of channels. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our seniors and military discounts. So make the switch to satellite TV right now. Everybody gets free installation, free equipment, plus a $100 prepaid Visa card. Call right now and you can switch to satellite TV and be watching everything you wanted to within the next week. And remember, installation's free, so call right now. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Tim Dennis, host of the Darkness Radio podcast, joins the show. Then we talk about the Milwaukee comedy scene with comedy sports head coach Mike Kauf. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Travel and power are among the top concerns as a large part of the country finds itself in a deep freeze, coupled with a significant snow and ice storm. At least five people have died so far. Our Manuel Bojorquez is in Louisville.
We're not expected to go above freezing really any time at all throughout the rest of the week, with potentially more snowfall on Friday. And the biggest concern here is that it wasn't just snow, there was ice. And the ice, if it starts to weigh down branches and if they fall on electrical lines, that could cause more power outages.
It's not snow in Los Angeles, but wind that's a big concern. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
A potentially life-threatening windstorm for Southern California. We've got winds that could be gusting 65 to 80 miles an hour in the hills and mountains just outside of Los Angeles. The problem that we have there is not just the potential for destruction.